Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You were talking earlier about how mail comes in that day, goes out that day. Give us a little bit about how that has shaped the culture here at the Post Office.
Yes, that is the culture of the Postal Service. That's what I was brought into 22 years ago, and that's what I've done every day since, up until recently. With the recent changes, we have seen delays, and the reason for the delays are the changes that have obviously come from the new Postmaster General. There have been some very strict changes to overtime rules, where overtime is being cut from the top down, in the plants, in the small offices, with all of the crafts. We also have seen changes in transportation rules. In our plants, the dispatch times are very strict now. Where a truck driver may have been able to wait before for some mail that was still being processed in order to make sure it was dispatched that day, now they have strict dispatch times. So whatever's ready at that time, they leave, take that mail out to the associate offices for delivery, and then anything that's left over is processed for the next day, hopefully. When you get out the mail out to the associate offices and we prepare it for the carriers, the same rules fall for the carriers. We have very specific dispatch times that the carriers have to leave the offices. So when the carriers come in and we get the mail ready for them, they have to leave at a certain time. Say it's 9 o'clock, they have to be out of the building. Whatever mail is ready at 9 o'clock, they take that mail and go. They can no longer wait for us to finish processing the mail. Any mail that's left over stays in the office and then is ready for the next day. Now, in the past, we'd also have situations on heavy volume days if we had a lot of packages. Sometimes certain carriers would take a parcel run out in the morning, and they'd run parcels early in the morning, and then they'd come back, get the rest of their mail to ensure that all the mail was delivered that day. Or we would keep processing mail after they left, and they'd come back and maybe do a second run later in the day. Those extra trips are no longer allowed. So any mail that's left after their dispatch time, it's ready for the next day. So it subsequently is delayed.
One of your colleagues said that we should not be a political football. The senator has said that in addition to commerce and meds and things that, you know, in the pandemic, a lot of people will rely on mail-in ballots. He seemed to insinuate that maybe the idea is to compromise the integrity of mail-in ballots. What are the people on the inside thinking?
I think this started long before the election issue. I mean, when you think about it, Megan Brennan announced her retirement in October. That was long before the pandemic hit. So the wheels in motion of putting Postmaster DeJoy in place started before the pandemic hit, before we even knew this was going to affect the election, before mail-in ballots became an issue. Privatization is the issue. The mail-in ballots, I think, is something that came along as an after effect, and it's just an added problem. Privatization is really the problem. We have been fighting privatization in the Postal Service for decades. Other administrations, other postmaster generals that have been in, other senators, other congressmen that have been in office over the decades have pushed for privatization of the Postal Service. They've wanted to change it. They've wanted to make it a business and take the service out of it. So this is something that we've fought for decades. The problem with this is we have somebody in there now as Postmaster General that has no history with the Postal Service, no experience in the Postal Service, and is a solid businessman. So he is looking at it as a profit margin. How do I come in here and change this and make it a business? And actually follow through with a privatization plan that others have laid out and tried to do in the past. So I think the election, while it is affected by it, and while it is a large problem, I'm not trying to say that it's not, it could become a problem if we don't have the help of the community in getting ballots out quickly and getting their ballots back quickly to assure that we don't have a delay in them. It could become a problem. But I think it's a much larger problem than just the election. I think privatization of the entire service is what they're going for.
What are some of the issues you could see with the election, since you say it could be an issue? What are some of the issues you could see as far as with these cuts?
Well, with the delays, I mean, obviously it's out there on the street. Everybody's talking about the delayed mail and the ballots aren't going to make it back in time and there's going to be such a high volume we won't be able to handle it. The volume, I want nobody to worry about the volume. If the Postal Service can do anything, we can do volume. We do it every holiday season. We do it back to school. We do volume. So volume is not an issue with us. I've been doing it for 22 years. We amp up our game, believe me. So volume's not a worry. We have the machinery to do it. We have the people to do it. And we have the experience and the knowledge to handle the volume. With the delays, there's nothing we can do ourselves on the floor to change the rules that the postmaster puts in place. But I will tell you, election mail is number one priority in the Postal Service. It always has been. And we have received no directives that have changed that. So in no way, shape, or form has he come down and said, listen, get those parcels out and don't worry about the election mail. That hasn't happened. So I'm not concerned that the election mail is going to be pushed to the side. But what we can do and what all of our customers can do is work with the Board of Elections, get your ballots. If you're going to absentee ballot, get it early. Get it out early. Look at your due date. If your due date is Election Day, whether it's a week before Election Day, get your ballot in the mail 2 weeks early, and then none of us have to worry about a delay. You know, if we all work together, we can get through this election and not have a problem. But it's going to take everyone working together because they have put these extra problems in there, and they've thrown barriers up. So it's going to take us, like I said before, it's going to take us and the community working together to fight this, but it's worth the fight.
Can you be more specific on what it will look like from a personnel cutback standpoint if relief funding isn't kind of offered?
If we don't get any relief funding, we're looking at probably closures. You're looking at thousands of job losses across the country. I don't know if anybody's seen the restructuring, but he's already started restructuring at the headquarters level. And so we're looking at higher level jobs that are being moved around already. That certainly is going to trickle down. If we don't get the funding, I think we're looking at thousands of job losses. I think we're looking at facility closures, which then of course is going to just lead to more delays. And the ultimate goal in all of this, in my personal opinion, is just to destroy customer confidence in us. We are the number one federal agency. Everybody loves us. You know, we love our job. We do our job. We serve our communities. And if they can destroy that, then I believe they can get the privatizing goal that they want. So by delaying the mail, that's the first way to destroy consumer confidence. So if we do get the cuts, yes, you're going to see large job loss and you're going to see further delays.
So you talk nationally, thousands of jobs. What does that look like locally, do you think?
Locally, I would say definitely we have a plant here. We have a plant in Rochester. I mean, I would hope that we wouldn't lose either one of them, but I mean, it's hard to say what we would lose locally. I guess it would just depend on how much funding we actually end up getting. You know, I can't really make a definite guess. I would hate to make a guess on what would happen here, but I just know nationwide it would be devastating if we can't get the help we need.
The 6,900 or so job losses that the senator suggested, is that covering all eight counties?
Yes. Yeah, that's in this whole general Western New York facility, this whole Western New York vicinity.
And now, I'm not sure how much you know about this. A lot of industries have faced funding cuts, income deficits with the coronavirus stuff. Is the post office facing that as well?
We definitely took a hit in business mail. Like the senator said, when the businesses closed, we lost a lot of our business mail. People weren't mailing their catalogs. They're not doing their bulk mailings anymore. So we lost a lot of that business mail. Do we anticipate getting some of it back now? Of course. Now that businesses are coming back, they're going to start mailing again. We just don't know how much of it, what volumes we're going to get back, how much is actually going to come back, and how much we've lost forever. A lot of businesses have closed. closed for good. A lot of businesses have shifted to working from home because it's working very well for them. So we did lose that. You also have to factor into it the amount of money that the Postal Service has spent on salaries, on paying people that aren't working because they're out being quarantined or they're out for other coronavirus issues being covered under, you know, the FFCRA because they're taking care of their children who are home from school. We also have invested, I believe nationwide, it's $5 million in PPE. So you've got to factor in all those costs that the Postal Service took during the pandemic as well. We did take a big hit financially.
Is there any other way that, I mean, that you guys could make up for that loss?
I love when people ask me this question because I have a gajillion ideas in my head. I always believe in extending or expanding service rather than cutting service. The APWU has been running a huge campaign on postal banking for the longest time, adding banking services, adding DMV services, adding IRS services to our postal facilities so that we can serve the poor and rural communities in this country, which would then generate more revenue into the Postal Service across the country. So I always believe, I mean, we do money orders and many of our rural communities rely on coming in and getting money orders to pay for everything. So if we could offer banking services and payroll cashing services, not only would it expand our revenue, but it would also help these poor communities that are being taken over by these, you know, these payday loans that they have to go, they cash their paychecks and they get charged 20-30% on their paycheck. They're losing so much money. We could serve the community and we could increase our revenue, which is who we are. We're a service, so why not give more? So yes, I absolutely think there's more we can do. Let's expand our services. Let's give more to our communities. Let's stop taking away.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.